be seated. I just want to touch briefly. I don't know. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me better now? Is that better? On what we've seen across the news this last week regarding President Trump, former President Trump, President Biden. This is not the sermon is on today, but just want to keep everybody in mind, no matter what side that you're weighing towards, this is not a political statement whatsoever, whether it be Republican, whether it be Democrat, no matter what side you look on, you're going to find faults and flaws. It doesn't matter. However, what is happening in this country today, it's saddening, of course. It breaks our heart to see that this country that everybody loves is in such turmoil. But it really shouldn't be such a huge surprise, because Jesus told us things would happen. And this is part of it. Confusion, disorder, wrong being right, right being wrong. So if any time you should pray for your country, this is the time. The devil is here to cause confusion. And if you can't see confusion, boy, I don't know what to tell you. You need to wake up. So pay attention in this year, this election year, to what's going on. Pray for your country. Pray for your president. Yes, even President Biden. Pray for the election. Pray that this country get back to what it was founded upon. This country was founded on biblical principles. A lot of people don't know that. Our forefathers were into the Bible. They closed the door. Benjamin Franklin said, "We're not eating. We're closing this door." They fasted and they prayed when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. Remember that. So when people are trying to fight against putting the Ten Commandments in our school system and bringing back God back into our schools, it's also part of American history. That's what America was brought and based upon. So let's remember that as well. How many are thankful for our Heavenly Father that gave His only begotten Son to this world, and that whoever should believe in Him should not perish and have everlasting life, right? We're very thankful for Him. We're thankful that He also gives us another gift. It's a gift of freedom, a free will, that we can decide and choose what we want, where we go, even to love Him. It's not forced upon us. It's freely. Freely it's given. So when you look at our country and you say that we have some of these freedoms, freedom of speech, we have the freedom of speech, and we also have freedom to bear arms. The funny thing is, you need a background check in order to own a gun, but you don't need a background check to fire at the mouth. So as I was preparing, praying on what the sermon should be today, the power of our words that we speak is just that. Power. We don't realize what we say, where it will take us in life. And as we read through these scriptures today, and I kind of started not at the very beginning of James chapter 3, and I laugh because when I called Bruce is like, "Are you going to go start here?" I said, no, I actually want to start here. That's where I felt led. That's where I felt God call me to start. Right here, the words came into my mind and the vision, and I said, I know what Bruce was kind of thinking, but this is where I needed to start. And if you take a look around in the country and in our lives, you will start to understand how true and how right it is. So let's go to James 3 now, 4 and 5. And it says, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. If we're not careful where we're driving, we don't know where we're going to end up. So just as the scripture tells us, the tongue is a rudder that drives us in our lives to where we are heading, no matter what the circumstances are around us, no matter what some say about us, no matter how the outcome would be if someone is trying to help us, what we say is what determines our outcome. The direction in which we go is determined by the words we speak. And although it is a small part of the body, even though how small it is, it controls the direction of us. And if we don't have our hands on the rudder, we don't have control of the ship. If we don't have control of the tongue and what we speak, who knows where it will be taking us. Even the slightest, think of the old ships, or your old with a trolling motor or a motor behind. Just the slightest move of your hand will make that ship turn. Not so much with a car, you're thinking, but when you're going through the water, and that slightest turn of the rudder is going to make you start turning just a little bit. You're not going straight. You're what? Drifting into the wrong direction. And if you don't have your hands on the ship, people say, well, it'd be better off if I didn't even say a word. I'll just keep my mouth shut. Well, you're a parked car then. You're not going anywhere. You're going in circles and in circles and in circles. And it's up to you. It says the inclination of the pilot. So it's up to us ourselves. What we say is where we're going to be directed in our lives. Where you are at today is what you said and confessed over your life in the past. And I'm going to show it and prove it to you at the very end of this. Where we're at today is because of what you confessed over your life last week, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. It doesn't matter when you said it. It's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen. Look in the days of old, the prophets, they prophesied the Christ, the Jesus, the Messiah, 400 years before, 800 years before. It will come to pass. Let's go on. I want to read through more of this verse, more of this chapter. So how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets fire on the course of our life, and it's set on fire by hell. Such a small spark is just the very beginning of destruction and terror that is caused by a foul comment. How so? The more you put fuel on the fire, the greater the flame, the hotter the flame. So how would we fuel the fire as something that we might have spoken? By telling somebody else. That person tells the next person. Now, see how the fire is getting wider, and it's getting wider, and the path is getting wider, and it's getting hotter and hotter, and it's taking out everything in its path, just as a wildfire will. And how do you put it out? It's out of control. How much water is it going to take? How much of the Holy Spirit's power is it going to take to put that fire out once it starts going? Powerful things. Powerful things your words can do. It calls upon salvation. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess that Jesus is Lord, if we confess things, that's what happens. God spoke things into existence. Words are powerful. He spoke all of us into existence, the galaxy into existence, trees, animals, all spoke it and it happened. It says that it's an iniquity. If you reread, and especially in the old chapter, they talk about transgressions and iniquities. The transgressions, they're sins that we do, maybe not intentionally or an accident as we're going. But when they talk about iniquity, iniquity just isn't sin. It is an evil. An evil. It's an intentional. So as they say that it's an iniquity, the tongue, it's an intention. It can be an intentional evil destroyer. How so? We talk about David and how wonderful of a king he was, and he was a man after God's own heart. But what he did to Uriah was all because of his tongue. Why? Because it gained him something. He wanted his wife. That is an iniquity. Our tongue can cause things to happen that want to happen for our own good with the destruction of others. If we look at the TV, we talked about this before. Spreading. Terror, lies, destruction, deception. Can't believe all that you see and hear, but that's what they want you to believe. It's wanting to come to chaos. We saw a little beginning of that in 2020 with COVID and what the words were spoken to cause chaos and disorder and brother against brother and nation against nation. Are you following me here, church? Am I making this clear? Can I get an amen, somebody? Thank you. So even what we would think is a small statement can cause horrendous damage. Even just think of a small comment somebody has made to you, maybe a parent in the past, that they said something that you weren't good enough. That stays with you for the rest of your life. That could carry with you to even now something that said somebody said to you are 10 years old and you're 50 now. Might still be harboring inside you. It's hard to get rid of something that was spoken. It reminds me of when I was learning to shoot a gun and hunt. I mean, if you don't hunt around here in Susquehanna County, I don't know. Good luck. But he said to me, he said, Derek, always be careful. You know what you're shooting at. Identify it. Know what it is. Because once you pull that trigger, you can't take back the bullet. It's the same thing with our words. You can't take back what we say. They leave scars. They leave tremendous damage. It again could impact somebody's future. The only way that we could ever try to make things well is reaching out to God, going to our brother, and asking or whoever we have said these things about and asking for forgiveness. But it's still, we are human, and the Holy Spirit works through us. There's still damage control that is left on somebody's heart. It's this destroyer of dreams and visions, a lost hope, and it incinerates the path. Someone may have had their heart set since a very small age, and what we can either build them up or take them down. Proverbs 26 and 18 says it like this, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was joking. It doesn't matter if we're joking or not, words are fire. And some might not know it is a joke. Saying something nasty and hurtful isn't some kind of joke. People are sensitive to what is said to them, especially from a so-called Christian. We have to be careful out there. Nobody wants to be called a madman, especially, you know, people look at us every day. They say, you go to church every day, but yet the word, you know, you're a hypocrite. Everything we do, people are looking at us and judging us. I know we're not supposed to judge one another, but people that are unsaved and unchristian look at us that way. God sees our heart, yes, and he knows. But how are we going to win people to Christ if we're not living a Christ-like life? So we should not be speaking words of destruction. We should be speaking words of life to build up each other, to encourage each other, not to be bringing each other down and hurting, trying to do things for our gain or our benefit and be jealous of our neighbor and trying to take what's theirs and just keep building up upon our account. Psalm 52:2, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, a worker of deceit. How many of us all cut ourselves shaving? Face or legs? Sometimes, yeah, right, Bruce? Too many times, right? Walking around with the tissue on our face. Most of the time, when you cut yourself with a razor, you don't even know you've done it. It's so sharp that you don't even recognize you do it. Most of the time, someone would come up to you, maybe your wife, and say, "You're bleeding." Same thing with your words. You might not even know what you say, and you keep saying it and professing it. No, everywhere you go, around your coworkers, around your family, around your church people, around the grocery store, wherever you're at, men's group. And people start saying, "Do you hear yourself? Look at you." When you lose blood, this might be a little bit extreme, but listen to me. When you lose blood, your color starts to fade. You start to get dreary and weak. People will call you out and try to help you. Listen to some of the people. Sometimes God will use whoever he wants. Trust me, I'm telling you. God will use whoever he wants. And sometimes it's even the unsaved that's going to point that out. What's wrong with you? You're a mess. You look terrible. You look sick. What are you doing with you say nothing good. Everything that you say is just so negative and nasty. I don't want to be around you, but look at yourself. You're destroying your own character. You know how I know this? Let me tell you, church, you can't preach on something unless you go through it. Nobody can preach on anything. They can try, but you can't preach on it until you go through it. Unless you've gone through something, you can't teach on it. There it is. Thank you, Pastor Joe. It's a difficult thing. We're all in this together. We're all here to help each other. We're all here to pat each other on the back. Let's go. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon, in case you can't notice. Our soon-coming king is on his way. We can hear the keys in his hand and his feet hitting the clouds. It's no joke. I didn't think I'd see it. I believe in Jesus, and I believe he was coming. I didn't think I would see it, but I do now. The writing's on the wall, so to speak, and it's time to repent. It's time to change our ways, and it's time to preach the gospel to our friends and our family. Two of my children this week asked me about God and Christ and religion. Oh, don't get me started. That's another sermon in itself. And denominations. Two of my children. Why? Because I'm praying for them. Prayer does something. The name of Jesus changes things. We have to get out there and start preaching the goodness of God and his grace and his mercy and his love and his compassion. There's enough hate in the world. There's enough of destruction with the words of the media and our government. Now, say it as it is. That we have to tell people, I know how it looks, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better because Christ is coming and he's taking his bride home to glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Man, I'm getting fired up here. Verse 7 and 8, for every species of beasts and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Ouch. Ouch. Scripture is meant to irritate. It's meant to convict. And some people, they like to I'm going to read the Bible, and then they get to some verse like this, and they say, "This is that stings." Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to make you change your ways and turn from your evil and wicked ways into the arms of Christ. It's easier to tame a wild creature than to tame our own tongue. Phew. We can train lions and tigers and bears. We can train birds to talk, whales, dolphins to jump through hoops. But we can't tame our own tongue. The only thing that can tame our tongue is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're running around spreading chaos and fuel and disease and separation, confusion, and you claim you're a Christian, I'd start examining myself. Because you can't serve two masters. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you aren't speaking of any such things of the evil one. You should be checked. I'm not saying it doesn't come across your mind. No, I'm not saying that. Listen to me. I know things come across our mind, but everything that comes across our mind doesn't have to come out of our mouth. We have to be able to discern and filter it. What we have to say might not be important to somebody else. What we have in the response to what somebody is saying may not be important. The Bible tells us to be slow to speak. There's a reason for that. There's many reasons for that. One is we need to listen to people. And the other is we don't always have to say anything. Don't have to say a word. Even when we have people coming against the gospel and come against Jesus Christ, we're not to say a word. We're not there to fight with them. We're not there to cause division and cause anger. We're there to try to bring somebody to Christ. If we start there fighting and arguing against their point of view, they have that right. They have the right to argue against the gospel. That's why I said in the beginning, everybody has free will. But we're not here to argue with them. We're here to be gentle, kind, compassionate. Not to... Somebody will get confused and wonder who is who. Don't use foul or abusive language. This is Ephesians 4 and 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Matthew 15:11. It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. That's good right there. That was Jesus talking to the Pharisees, because they were all caught up in what? Religion. And they thought that they shouldn't eat some things because it's going to ruin your chances of getting into heaven. You shouldn't eat, pigs, for instance. And it's when Jesus said, you got it all wrong. You're so smart. You should know better. But it's not what you take in. It's what comes out. What comes in passes through your system and it enters out into the sewer, he says. But what comes out is actually sewage sometimes too. It's not worth anything. It's worth garbage. Be mindful of what we're saying. Always got to think, is this something that's going to benefit who I am talking to? Is it going to help them or is it going to hurt them? Trust me, I know. Things go through our minds all the time. Especially when we're driving on the road on I-81 and somebody cuts you off. What do you want to do? You don't want to say something nice. I know, I hear you. But you have to control it. The Holy Spirit will check you and it will stop you. As much as you want it, he will prevent you from going further into sin. You just have to be, like I say, sensitive to it and know. And when you are called a child of God, you should not even have that desire. It may pass through, but that's what it will do. It'll go in your mind and go out, and that's it. You'll be like, great, just lovely. Thanks for cutting me off. Have a great day. God bless you. Yeah, right. Verse 9 and 12, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. How can we examine ourselves as righteous people, blessing the name of the Lord in church on Sunday and turning around on Monday and speak profanities of hurt, pain, destruction, and evilness? How does a fountain send out fresh and bitter water from the same opening? It doesn't. It means that spring would be bad. Jesus dealt with these such things on a daily basis, religious leaders claiming to do one and doing another. Matthew 12, 34 and 37. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And I know you've heard me say this before, and a couple other times I preached. You will be held accountable for what you say, what you do, who you support, where you're going, who you're hanging around. Everything you do, you will be held accountable. You can't claim negligence. One day we'll all be kneeling before the Lord, confessing that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He's going to ask us what we did in His name. You can call a fig tree an olive tree, but that won't make it an olive tree. You can trim it to look like an olive tree. You can surround it with other olive trees, but it doesn't make it an olive tree. You can go to church. You can know all kinds of religious words. You may know scripture and read the Bible. You may even pray. You may surround yourself with Christians. You may call yourself a Christian, but that doesn't make you a Christian. The words we speak define who we are. Jesus said, you will know them by the fruits. You will know them by the fruits. I'm getting ready here to wrap this up. I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know it's hard. But by the fruits. What are the fruits? The fruits of the Spirit. Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. And what's the last one? Anybody know church besides Pastor Joe? Self-control. Self-control. Are we able to control not just our actions, but our speech? Especially with our youth, our young kids. We don't even know they're around half the time. They're around the corner. We might be speaking negativeness into their lives, destroying their dreams of what they might be hopeful for. Might be wanting to be a doctor someday, and somebody might be around the corner saying, who does she think she is? She doesn't have the grades for it. She can't do it. And just destroying everything, all their dreams that they had. It's a nightmare. Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Guard it. For the scriptures say in 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Oh boy, there you go. We ought to take that one home with you. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. Let's read that again. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do what? Who do what? And His ears are open to their prayers. Those who do right, the Lord listens to. Scripture also says we know that the Lord doesn't listen to sinners. Who are the sinners? The ones who haven't given their lives to Christ. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, God can't look upon sin. That moment when Christ was hanging on the cross and he bore all the sins of the world upon him, God turned his face from him. God cannot look upon sin. Before you leave today, make sure you are right with God and in good standings. Things happen along the way, but he is faithful if we confess our sins to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. So we have the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak good things of life, love, truth, healing, and blessing. In love, Ephesians 4:15 says, instead we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the truth. Truth, Zechariah 8:16, but this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts, just and let them lead to peace. Speak in life, in Proverbs 15:4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Healing, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Blessing, 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Amen. Jesus spoke the storm and said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke, and he healed all who were afflicted. Your words have power. And all this we know to be true. Like I said in the beginning of this sermon, we are here where we're at today is what we spoke over ourselves in the past. And here it is. To Scripture. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And in Luke 6:38. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. The words you speak are seeds planted. And when you plant a seed, it doesn't come up right away. The plant doesn't come up right away. Right, Bill? When we plant that seed, we wait for it to grow and grow until harvest time. Everything you say is a seed waiting to be harvested. Amen? So we know if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we should want nothing more than to bless people, to pray for people, to encourage them, to build them up. This world has enough evil and wickedness in it right now. The people of the world, I should say, not the world. The world isn't wicked. The people, some of the people in it are. And like I said, start praying blessing over the United States. We need it. We need Christ back into our schools. We need them back into our homes. We need them back into the community. We need them in our government. And we need them back into some of our churches even. So if we'd all stand now, I'd like to pray a blessing over you, church, before we sing our final hymn. Heavenly Father, I raise up every member of this congregation right now to your throne room, Father, and I ask blessing upon their health, upon their jobs, upon their finances. I pray for a supernatural increase financially. All that are struggling right now looking for help, Lord, I call upon your mighty name that you reach out and pull out just pour, open up your windows of heaven and pour out a blessing financially to those who need it right now. Father, I pray health over this congregation. I curse any sickness and disease that is trying to attack anyone right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bind it, I curse it, and I send it to the pit where it belongs. I pray this be the best week so far of this year, Lord. I pray better days to come, better and better each moment. Moment by moment, day by day, week by week, let nothing come in their path of destruction, Father. I pray peace over their family, their home, their jobs, and whatever they put their hands to, Father, I ask you, bless it. Now I ask that you always cause your face to shine upon them, Father. May your richest blessings always be theirs. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now if we can...